Let's pray. God, we don't sing lightly that you're the giver of life. God, that in of itself demands all of our worship, demands all of our praise. God, there is so much we have to be thankful for. God, and especially when it comes to you and how we praise you and, Lord, how we live our life for you. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would challenge us in how we live our life for you right now. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you, to praise you, to thank you collectively as the church. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Have a seat. That's good stuff, isn't it? Well, a couple people thought so anyway. No, it's good. Yeah. I'm excited about this morning. I feel a little clearer than I did the last service. I didn't even realize my sinuses were being as bad as they were until I got up here to actually teach in the last service. But if they get rough, just bear with me. I'll try not to blow my nose on you or anything. I'm excited about this morning as we're talking about leadership in the church, and some of this, last week we talked about elders and pastors. We talked about what that means and how pastors are called and, you know, what all that looks like. And for a lot of people, they could say, well, you know, why should I care? And I want to answer that question this morning. I want to answer the question of why should we care? And I want you to come away informed with what biblical leadership does look like. Last week we talked about it specifically for pastors and whatnot. This week we're specifically talking about deacons. And I know that it would be easy to say, well, you know, I'm not a deacon and I'll probably never be a deacon, or, you know, I just don't care. And for you just to check out on hearing that. And I don't want you to be checked out. I don't want you to check out because I want you to be challenged with the truth of God's word this morning. I want you to be challenged with who we are all called to be and how, in light of that, why is this deacon thing even important? Because there is a reason. There are reasons. And so I don't want us to be too quick to look over that. To kind of start off with, I think it's important to go to what the meaning of things are, and especially the word deacon. If you go to the Greek New Testament, and I took a couple of years of Greek New Testament. I'm no Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination, just enough to be dangerous. But if you go to that and you take the word for deacon, that word means servant. In fact, that word is actually used as servant, and many times in Scripture is translated servant, so to speak. And so, you know, I think it's important for us to get this glimpse of that a deacon is a servant. And I think that that's important because that is the foundation for who a deacon is to be. And you know, for a lot of us, we've seen deacons in churches in the past, and maybe you've never been in the church. So, you know, some of what I'm going to talk about this morning when I'm talking about our church past or church baggage or whatever it may be, sometimes good, sometimes bad, you know, that may not apply to you. Please forgive me if that's the case for you, because there's a lot of people in here that it does. And for a lot of people, they really struggle with thinking anything new about something that they've seen in the church for years being done differently than maybe sometimes even what is in Scripture. I say that, and I also say this, I have no interest in bashing on anybody's church. Scripture teaches us definitely to call out false doctrine and false prophets even at times. But I want you to understand that when I speak of these things and say, well, you know, this is what we see Scripture teaching, and sometimes that it's not what we've grown up with, so to speak, that I'm not saying something bad about that church. I grew up in churches where deacons many times were different than what we see here. It doesn't mean that those churches were bad. It doesn't mean that those churches, you know, didn't have the right heart. I know deacons that might not be following what we see as a biblical role of a deacon, but honestly, they don't know any better. Their heart is in the right place. They're serving God. They're loving Jesus in what they're doing, and God is using that. But I think that it's important for us to say, what does Scripture say about this? Just like it's important for us to say that about everything else. What does Scripture say about it? What does God teach about it? The Bible is God's word. It's not like, you know, hey, let's just go with, you know, some things in here that we like. This is it. This is what he's given us to follow, to understand who we are to be, who we're called to be, who the church is supposed to be. And I think that that's one of the hardest things, you know, when it comes to things like this, when it challenges us where we've been for many years. It's oftentimes hard for us to know what to do with that. You know, we are so easy to cling to tradition. I mean, it doesn't matter how old we are. You know, and everybody says, well, you know, I go to a church and, you know, it's not traditional. Well, the truth is there's tradition here as much as there is any other church. It's just different. It's just different traditions a lot of times. You know, we do something different all of a sudden and, you know, and people say, oh, wait a minute. You know, it's no different. People reject change a lot of times. The truth is for the church as a whole, how the church has been run has changed over history and changed over time. And I think we even see that with, you know, when the church came to America. And if you go back a couple hundred years, you'll see that the church had some changes that happened within it. And I'm not going to give you a whole church history lesson here. But I think that it's important to note that there are things that happened specifically because America and we found democracy, that the church along the way said, well, democracy's working great for America. Let's do democracy in the church. And so then that's where, you know, it came up to a point where, you know, it's a, you know, everything is democracy. Everybody gets to vote. And, you know, we're going to have a business meeting on Wednesday night. And we're thinking about moving the piano from one side of the room to the other. And so then we're going to have a vote on whether or not we're going to move the piano. And again, I'm not bashing on church that does this. I'm just saying this is kind of where this comes from. And so then what you have is you create opportunities that are not biblical opportunities necessarily, but you create these opportunities for Satan to get in and be divisive. And so then he gets in and he starts doing his thing, and then you got people and they're shouting, and they're like, well, no, we don't want to move the piano because it's always been there. And in fact, we don't even want to tune that thing because it's touched by the Holy Spirit and it just needs to stay the way it is. It's meant, God means for it to sound that out of tune, you know? Let's just leave it alone. You know, and that's where, you know, tradition and methodology becomes our theology. And that's not right. And so for things like offices in the church, a deacon, a pastor, elder, whatever it may be, you know, I think it's important for us just to continually go back and go, what does Scripture say about it? Forget what we grew up with. Forget what, you know, Uncle Jimmy said that it was. You know, what does Scripture, what does God say about it? Let's look at that. And so this morning, I'm hoping that we can together, you know, just learn more about what it is to be a deacon, who a deacon is, what that looks like. If you've got your Bibles with you, get them out. We're going to go to the book of Acts first. I may ask one of you guys to come up here and do this before it's over with. The book of Acts chapter 6 gives us the beginning. Actual, we have the account of when deacons came about here, specifically the role of, you know, people that are lead servants, so to speak, in the church, pastoral assistants, if you will. Acts 6, verse 1, and in this passage we have the early church, and we have something that we see. We've experienced it here at 24. You see it a lot of churches as a church is new, and then it begins to grow, and then the pastors one day, the called men who are to lead the church, and go back to last week on the podcast if you want to hear more about that, and I really encourage you to these two messages really kind of go together, but for us to see that and know this elder thing and this deacon thing going together, this all working together, this whole servant idea, it isn't like a lesser thing. It's just a different place where God wants to use somebody. And in this particular passage in Acts 6 in the early church, we're seeing where deacons were first being used. Acts 6, verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Nobody wants their widows to be neglected, right? I mean, seriously, this, all jokes aside, this is seriously an issue. You know, and like in many churches, you know, like our church, you know, our church has grown a lot. And God has blessed and continued to work. And these guys are kind of finding themselves many times where, you know, I know pastors at our church, including myself, find ourselves where we've got this calling and there are specific things we've got to do. But then there are still things sometimes that it's like, man, that needs to get done too. In verse 2, it says this, it says, "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables.'" So the apostles are kind of stuck here. They're like, you know, what do we do? We need to preach the word. We need to teach the gospel. But then we've got these folks that we need to make sure that they're getting food. And it says, verse 3, it says, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, from whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." I think that it is important for us to see how this plays out. The role of a deacon as a servant. I think it's important to note that Jesus came to serve and not be served. So ultimately, Jesus is like the lead servant. And this, so, you know, for us to see, and this is true of elders too. Elders are supposed to serve, but this role of a deacon as a ministry assistant, as a pastoral assistant, of somebody to help get the work of the ministry done so that a pastor, an elder, can continue to do what they've been called to do, especially when it comes to the preaching and the teaching of the gospel, not to mention other things. There's just so much stuff. I mean, and any of you could probably understand all the different things that go on when it comes to pastoring a church. The thing about this is, and we're going to go here in just a second, and we're going to see, you know, what it says about deacons specifically. We're going to see qualifications of deacons. And in looking at the qualifications of deacons, I think that it's important that we take note of some things as we're looking through there to understand who the deacon is supposed to be. What does that look like? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Takes us to that spot. This Acts passage that we just read gives us a historical background of first seeing the apostles appoint people to help in the work of the ministry. And then this passage in 1 Timothy 3, we see also this passage. In verse 8 it starts, I just want to read through this with you. And it says this, it says, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless." Man, that's tough right there alone. It says in verse 11, "Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. And those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Those are byproducts there in the last verse there. It's almost kind of, rewards, if you will, for fulfilling the role of a deacon, a faithful deacon. This passage sounds very similar to the passage that we read last week. We read a passage last week that's right before this passage in the same chapter of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. And in that passage, we see very similar qualifications of who a deacon is supposed to be. And I think that's important. It gives some very important things. It gives some very, very specific things of who a deacon's supposed to be. And I'll be honest with you, I had lists of them. I'm not even going to put the lists up there. If you want the list, email me this week. We'll get them. But you see them there in the qualifications. You're seeing the list. I mean, it's playing out much like the message I taught last week, and we saw that, and I had lists and all that good stuff. You know, I'd be glad, you know, like I said, email me if you want it. The thing about this passage is there are some differences about this and the passage from last week. First of all, I think that it's worth noting that there is a legitimate difference between pastors and deacons. It's not a, you know, one is better than the other. It's not that. It's just a calling thing. I think the thing that's worth noting that's different about these is the fact, number one, that there is a difference, because there are people, and some of you may be here, that have grown up in churches where you've seen no difference between the role of a deacon and a pastor. And that's unfortunate, because there is a difference in the two. And truth be known, it's a tag team relationship, them working together. But the elder, the pastor, be given authority over the deacon. The elder, the pastor, one of the things that we know for sure that is right there, we don't see a deacon to be required to do, that we see an elder being required to do, is to be able to preach and teach God's word. So a deacon is not a preacher. This is something that is only for the role of a pastor. And so I think that that's worth noting. And it's worth noting for several things. One of them we'll get into in just a minute. But for us to see this list, this you know, these things, you know, that you know, just like last week, somebody that's dignified and not double-tongued and not addicted to much wine and not greedy and, you know, all of these things, holding strong to the faith, you know, this is stuff that is so important that it's said twice. It's said for both groups of people. There's some distinction made in the earlier passage that also distinguishes a masculine role of an elder. You say, well, Chris, I think I see some of that in the deacon stuff too. You do. And we're going to talk about that. If you look at the word deacon, it in of itself is not masculine or feminine. There's a lot to the New Testament Greek language. Koine Greek is a very tricky thing. And to be honest with you, there are even parts of this passage that if you've got a Bible, and maybe you've got your Bible with you or whatever, but a lot of times if your Bible has footnotes in it, more than likely there is a footnote by this passage in verse 11 where it talks about wives. And in that footnote, more than likely, like most Bibles do, it's going to give the fact that it's a little unknown exactly what is meant here. And there are sometimes in those footnotes three different options of what it could mean. Now, if you want to get into the three options, and I do, I want to share them with you because I want us to talk about them for just a second. The three options look like something like this. Number one, to understand that the wording here for wives could be also translated women. So it could be that those women, who, as it says here, likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. So what this could mean, number one, it could mean, women who assist deacons. Number two, it could mean wives of deacons. Or number three, it could mean women that are deacons. And I mean, you can get into this as far as you want to go, but the truth be known, on this passage, obviously, a lot of this translation, ESV, which I teach from most of the time, and I really like this translation, but even it at times is, you know, there are things that when you know that there's that much stuff going on about it, you got to dig a little deeper. And you got to go back to original language. You got to do some studying on it. And once you do that on this particular verse in this particular context, most translators can't decide how they want to translate it. But I do think that for us to say, wives likewise must be dignified. If we use that language, that honestly doesn't make sense to me. You say, Chris, why not? Here's why. If you go up to verses 1 through 7, find the requirements for the wife of an elder. Find the requirements for the wife of an overseer in the first part of this chapter. They're not there. Why in the world would Paul write to Timothy and give requirements to the wife of a deacon, but not give requirements to the wife of an elder, a pastor, which holds the highest rank, if you want to call it that, in the church? Somebody that is leading the church, overseeing the church. Why wouldn't that wife have qualifications? The translation of this can be either wives or women. And the truth be known, is that we see other ladies in Scripture that are more than likely deacons. For example, Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 1, shows us this passage of scripture. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. And I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce that church right. I didn't try to in the first service either. In verse 2, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Phoebe right here, our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. The wording right here is exactly the same wording that would be known as the word deacon. The fact that Paul starts off the chapter talking about Phoebe in such a way that she's sent, almost kind of like she's out on a missionary journey like many of these guys were, is an understanding that he is specifically denoting honor to Phoebe, this servant of the church. Again, deacon is the word in of itself is not masculine or feminine. And so this could be that in verse 11, it's saying the women likewise must be serious because the truth is it just doesn't make sense for it to be the wives. And you say, okay, Chris, what about the next verse? Are you going to miss that? Are you going to skip this whole, like, let deacons each be the husband of one wife? No, I'm not. This is the normal thing that most folks would eventually say, well, you know, this is the nail in the coffin on this thing. You know, you know, a lady can't be the husband of a wife. Correct. This is specific. But I think that you have to pay attention to what's going on here. You have qualifications of all deacons in the first part of this, being dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain, must hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Go on verse 10. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons. If they prove themselves blameless, their wives or the ladies likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. And then we pick up back again with let the deacons be the husband of one wife. What we've got going on here is we've got a break. We've got breaks to this and an understanding with words like likewise, helping us to understand that there too, ladies, if you are going to serve in this way, you too likewise are to hold to these things. Verse 12, let deacons each be the husband of one wife, is definitely talking to men. Just like I think in verse 11, and I think most scholars would agree with me, that verse 11 is talking specifically to ladies. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. And so what you've got is you have, you know, some requirements given, I really believe this, for ladies that are going to serve in this way and for guys that are going to serve this way back to back, and it makes total sense. And especially when you take the whole passage as a whole and look at the whole thing and go, okay, well, we've got all the elder stuff up here, and in that we don't see anything about the elders' wives, and then we get down here to the deacons and we got, well, we can translate this one of two ways, and if we're going to translate it one way, why would it be wives if they don't have anything for the elders' wives? Doesn't make sense. So it's either got to be talking about ladies that are assisting deacons or ladies that are deacons. And then you've got ladies like Phoebe, and you can go into other scripture and really, you know, make a case for other ladies. That's probably like the strongest one, the easiest one to talk about there. And in some translations, they'll call her a deaconess, which is, to my knowledge, I don't think necessarily, I think that's more of kind of a man-made word. And my understanding is, I'm not sure if it happened before this, but was mentioned at the Council of Nicaea in 325, talking the 4th century, pretty early on in the church. So the understanding then was that this was a possible thing. Here's the thing. I've yet to go to a church where I haven't seen a woman deacon. I've yet to do it. I've grown up I've grown up in the Southern Baptist Church for years. In fact, I've had this conversation with tons of pastors over the years about their thoughts on lady deacons and, you know, all of this. And the funny thing is like every single one of them looks at it the same way. It's this funny thing. It's like this thing that nobody wants to touch because they're afraid it's going to be taken the wrong way. And so what generally they all say to me is, Chris, yeah, I believe in women deacons. I'm like, well, what do you guys do at your church about that? They say, well, we have them. We just don't call them that. I mean, this is a normal, here's the thing that's wrong with that. I think that when we do that, I think we do them a disservice. I think we do them a disservice to them getting to receive the accountability, the biblical requirements for understanding what they do. And instead, we just say, well, let's just call them a director. And let's just call them a ministry assistant. Let's just call them this, or let's just call them that. When in truth, they are doing the work of a deacon. Ladies are doing the work of deacon. I would say that one of the other hang-ups that you get on this particular issue is people would say, well, you know, if they're a deacon, you know, doesn't that put them in authority over men? And I would say, yes, that sometimes that it would. And here's what I would say about that. If you want to go to the passage specifically that talks about women not being in authority over men, in that passage, the specific language, verbiage, what's going on there is specifically talking about that they are not to be in a position where they are preaching and teaching over men. And that is not the role of a deacon. That is the role of a pastor. There is nothing in the role of a deacon, nothing, that goes against Scripture that a lady couldn't do what a deacon is called to do. If there is, all of our churches better get on their hands and knees and better repent before God and say, God, I am so sorry that we let all of these ladies step up and help lead our churches to showing people how to love Jesus and take care of folks and do the work of the ministry so many times. Because guys, let's face it. Some of us as men have failed the church in being the spiritual leaders. We're called to do it, but we don't always do it. And if we did do it, ladies would probably be, you know, just walking around. They wouldn't have anything to do. That's not true, because that's not how God intended the church to be, and we've seen that. We've seen how the church can work. We've seen how God uses both men and women for the ministry of the gospel. That's the beauty of this. This is no talk on, like, you know, you're wrong and I'm right of, you know, this thing to other churches or whatever, and our stance is better than theirs or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, preach and teach the gospel, love God, love people, live it out. That's what this is about. And let's just face it, it would be a whole lot easier in our cultural context for me to stand up here and say, well, you know, we see this thing about the husband of one wife, so it just must mean that there's not any women deacons. Sorry, ladies, you're out. Be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Because for those of us that have been around the church in a context in an area like this, this is not the norm. But this is what Scripture is leading us to. So guess what? That trumps, in my opinion, what anybody is doing in any church. This is God's word. And still, you know, maybe you're sitting here going, Chris, what does it matter? Why should I care? Here's why we should care. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. I love it. Serve one another. So what's that mean? Is this talking to deacons? Is this talking to pastors? It's talking to everybody that knows Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you know Jesus, then God is saying to you, hey, guess what? Part of my plan for you before I am done with you is that you serve one another. Okay. Chris, we get it. We understand we're supposed to serve one another. What's that have to do with deacons? Deacons are people that pastors appoint to help oversee ministry under their leadership, under their authority, to be lead servants. And let me ask you a question. If we're all called to be servants within the church, and we're called to work within the body of Christ to be all arms and legs and feet and pieces of this thing, do we not want to get a full understanding of what the church leadership looks like in which we're supposed to come under? We know we're supposed to be under it. Do we not want to have a true understanding of what the Bible teaches about that? Is it not important for us to know? Yes, it is important for us to know. And for that reason alone, if the cross isn't enough, if the fact that Jesus came and shed his blood and died on it for the forgiveness of all sin to anyone that would be willing to receive him as their Savior, if that's not enough, then just the thought alone that we would follow God's word to glorify him should be enough. Church leadership stuff really isn't that complicated. We make it more complicated sometimes. Sometimes by trying to adapt, some of the things like what I was talking about with the democracy thing or whatever. And you can say that about a lot of things. And you can say, well, Chris, what about this or what about that? Here's the thing. God is real specific on some things. And one of those things is that elders are supposed to lead. They are called out by God. The things that he calls them to do, they better be fearing Jesus over if they're going to pull the trigger on them. And I've been there many times, fearing Jesus, going, God, is this what you want us to do? It's very clear that they are to use folks, appoint people at times, to call them to help do the work of the ministry so that the church, that the ministry wouldn't fail, that the widows would be fed. We got people doing this stuff already in our church all the time. You take folks that are feeding the homeless on Tuesday nights. We got folks in our church that are helping with places like the place in Springfield that takes care of mothers, single mothers. Tries to talk them out of having abortions. Tries to lead them to Jesus. Talks them into having babies. Raising those babies or putting them up for adoption or whatever it may be, that's the work of a deacon. For someone, anyone that can give godly counsel according to Scripture, that's the work of a deacon. Many of you are doing those things. Many of you are fulfilling some of those roles. But we're not calling you deacons. And I think that we do you a disservice for doing that. And that's why we're going to have deacons. For a long time, I said we weren't going to have deacons. And the reason behind it was really a dumb reason. And I'm being humble here. I'm putting myself out here saying I was stupid for saying it. And I have no problem with that. But the reason I said at one point in time, early when we first started the church, we probably won't have deacons. And I did say probably. But I said we probably won't have deacons because I don't know that people we'll really understand what the role of a deacon is because so many of us have this role of a deacon as being somebody that's like a businessman that runs the church, and that is not a biblical deacon. God is calling us to be the church. And I think that that's important for us when it comes to things like that, like this, that we understand as much as we possibly can about these subjects and leadership within the church. Because if we, me as a pastor, maybe you're here for the first time, or you've been here for a million years, whatever it is, you know, how God is going to want you to be a part of the body of Christ, you're going to need to know what this looks like. I'm going to need to know what this looks like for us to carry that out properly. And you say, Chris, at the end of the day, what's the big deal about carrying it out properly? It's His design. It's not mine. I didn't make it up. It's His design. And we're just trying to be faithful to Scripture. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I think for us this morning, I think it's important for us to remember Christ. I think it's important to remember what service really looks like as He lived it through His life. As He lived a life where He went from one situation to the next, loving on people. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you really got loved by somebody? When was the last time somebody really served you? I got served here the last couple days. Sounds, I know. It was good serving, though. Had some people in our church just do a couple different things for me the last couple days and my family. And specifically on Friday, I got a text message from somebody in the church. And they said, hey, we got some tickets to something. They were like, it's enough for you and all your girls to go. You guys should go and have a good time. And I don't know how they got them. I don't know if they were planning on going or what. And they were just kind to even think of us. And it was probably the best show on earth. Monster Jam. Last night, me and my girls went to Monster Jam. Me and my two little girls got our picture made in front of Gravedigger. It's what every redneck daddy wants, isn't it? You know, I'm kind of poking fun about it, but the truth is, man, they really did serve. That really was a service to me and my family, because I knew that my girls would love just have a ball, just hanging out, eating junk, and trying to keep headphones on their ears because it's so loud, and they're trying to constantly take them off and cheese all over their face, and just all kinds of stuff. And we did, man. We just had an awesome time hanging out, and it was such a blessing. And I felt humbled, because somebody loved me to think about me in that way. And let me just tell you something. That's what we are called to do as Christians. And let me tell you this. If you're not a Christian and you've seen Christians any other way, that was the wrong way. Jesus came to serve and not be served. He came to serve and set the example for what it would look like for us to serve one another. I've even quit trying to call stuff that we do here when it comes to helping out and serving, volunteering, because I love, that's a great word and all, but the truth is the biblical word is to serve. Because it is not just about volunteering to help people. It is about serving one another, serving God. Because when we serve one another, we bring glory to Him. Because it honestly, at the end of the day, we don't serve one another so that people will look at us in a good way, so people will think more of us. We don't serve one another so that we can get anything out of it. We serve one another because we love Jesus and because He deserves our worship all the time. And one of the ways for us to do that is to serve one another. So some of you will probably be deacons. You'll be lead servants. Don't let it go to your head. You see, leadership in the church isn't like leadership in the business world. Leadership in the church is about putting others before you. Leadership as a believer is about putting others before you. It's about serving one another. It's about putting Jesus first. And we have Christ as the ultimate servant to look at for the ultimate example of who we're supposed to be. Whether we're called to be an elder, a deacon, someone that just wants to help out in some small way, the service is the same. The service is the same. And God is glorified through it when our hearts are pure in what we're doing, when our motives are pure and it's done for His glory. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, maybe it's because of some of those Christians that you ran into in the past, because this happens to be one of the biggest reasons why a lot of people don't come to church, or a lot of people don't become a Christian, is because they knew some Christians before and they weren't really all that what they thought they were supposed to be. I want you to know on the front end that we're all a bunch of sinners, me included, and we're all saved by God's grace. We're all saved through the death of Christ on the cross. And if you would like to join with a bunch of people in trying to charge ahead for the kingdom of God and loving Jesus as a body of Christ like we see in Scripture through things like this, and you want to join with a group of people that don't have it together, and recognize that they're going to continuously fail, but also recognize that they are saved through Jesus, would love for you to contemplate, maybe even talk to us about what it means to know Jesus as your Savior. The truth is it doesn't matter what your past holds. It doesn't matter. Because what Jesus did only had to be done one time. And His blood covers all who will receive Him as their Savior. And this morning, if you want to talk about that, or if you just want to pray about trying to understand that more, as soon as the service is over today, change this up a little bit, as soon as the church service is over today, available pastors and our counselors, whoever they may be, will be just hanging out in front of the stage right here. And while everybody else is leaving, you can come and talk and pray, and we'd be glad to do that with you. Be glad to try to help you understand anything that maybe you haven't completely understood. Jesus is the lead servant. He's called us to serve. Some of us, He's called to serve in specific ways. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you need to pray about that. Maybe you need to spend this time that we're about to enter just praising God and worshiping Him, just praying and asking God, God, continue to show me who You want me to be for You and for Your kingdom. God loves us, and He will be glorified. And the question may be at hand for you, are you going to be a part of glorifying Him, or is He going to have to find somebody else? Let's pray together. God, I love You. God, I thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we would understand the call of a servant. God, for all of us, God, that's important. For some here today, God, they don't even know You yet. God, I pray, Lord, if there's any one person here this morning that doesn't know You, God, that they would just run to You today. God, to find out more of what it means to be a child of God. Lord, I pray for them. God, that You would speak to their hearts. God, I pray that for us as believers, God, that people would see us as people that love You. People that want to do Your will. God, people that are not afraid of this world, but God, that we're more concerned with fulfilling who You've called us to be, to glorify You with our lives. Lord God, speak to our hearts. Help us to understand who You've called us to be. As we worship You, God, I pray that the words from our lips in prayer and in song, in our actions as we leave here and we live life throughout the week, God, that it would all be glorifying to You. God, that people would see You in us, that they would see the ultimate servant, not God in us specifically, but they would see you in us. God, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you.